Today on Analog Out, me and Bowman are going to review Creed 2. We're going to talk about the loot box ban in Belgium and what that means for Square Enix. And top of that, we're going to talk about our Thanksgiving and what kind of games we got. Check it out. Hey guys, welcome back for another episode of Analog Out. How's everybody doing today?
I'm good.
Good. Glad to have you here. Glad we could get together on this post-Thanksgiving weekend and record this show for everybody.
It's fine. Thanksgiving weekend. Is this Black Sunday?
This is Black Sunday. The deals are still rolling. It's just a matter of hours until Digital Monday or whatever the fuck.
Cyber Monday? Mm-hmm.
That's when all the kids pop their cyber cherry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
They've dedicated an entire holiday to it now. That's how popular internet dating is.
Oh, man. Is that... Wait, are you being serious right now?
No.
No. Okay. I can't tell anyone anymore. I really can't. So, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was great, man. I had a nice... homely Thanksgiving meal at the Cracker Barrel with me and my grandparents.
I didn't realize you guys went to the Cracker Barrel. I didn't know if that was a serious thing or not.
I was being dead serious. not a fan of the old Cracker Barrel. Got a hair in my stuffing.
Did you really?
Yeah. I didn't tell you that?
No.
Yeah. You know, just classic chain restaurant bullshit that you run into. So
was it just like a special Thanksgiving meal they had going on or something?
The hair wasn't special, but the actual meal was. It was like $13 for turkey and ham and stuffing and hairy
stuffing.
Yeah, and a sweet potato casserole and a piece of that pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie. I don't know. You like hair in your food, man. You're a big fan of that quarter pounder with mm-hmm. the hair in it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I wish I could remember the topic that you didn't want me bringing up again. But I'm drawing a blank right now.
It's not like they know the context to that. Anyway.
So we got together on Thanksgiving.
We did.
I saw you. Yeah. I saw my best pal. We palled it up. We went to Creed 2.
Yeah. Pat was funny because he went, yeah, man, the theaters are going to be dead. And I just thought, what? No, it's Thanksgiving. People go out and see movies on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so this was a interesting experience for me Thanksgiving wise because I'm 30 now. I don't have kids, and I don't particularly like my family. So I'm at that age now where I just don't give a fuck about the holidays anymore. And like, I ended up getting invited to your Thanksgiving, which I only didn't go to because my grandparents wanted to go out to lunch at Cracker Barrel. And then I got invited to, like, that dinner at my grandma's. It's, like, multiple hours away. And I was just like, no, I'm not going to do anything today. I'm just going to go to the movies. And I guess I just am clueless. And I didn't realize that people actually go out to, like, restaurants and see movies and stuff on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, even, like, Christmas Day. That's a thing, too.
I know that going to see movies sometimes on Christmas Day is because everything else is closed. And, you know, like, my family, they're done with presents and Christmas festivities by, like, noon. But Thanksgiving, didn't realize that was a big thing. And this theater was packed. It was sold out.
Sure was. Yeah, it was. I was surprised. I honestly didn't expect Creed 2 to be like a really busy show.
I mean, it opened like that day.
That was the opening weekend?
Yeah.
No.
It opened the day before or whatever. So me and you are big Rocky fans.
I will admit right now that I have not seen one Rocky movie.
Rocky 5?
Yes.
You don't need to.
I know. It would come on HBO and I would watch it for minutes and just never paid attention to it.
It sucks.
Yeah, is it like really that bad?
Yeah, it's so bad that it's not even funny. It's just boring. The fight sucks. It's just lame, man. Like
we should drink and watch it soon. You don't even want to jokingly watch it.
No, it's not good. It's like that time that we thought that it would be a good idea to get drinks and watch Jaws 3, and it was just like we were bored and stopped paying attention to it after 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Rocky 5, it sucks. He loses all of his money, and he's poor again, and he's like they're like living in like a small shitty apartment in Philly, and like Adrian has to get a job back at the pet shop and stuff, and he starts training some young boxer who ends up just being full of himself, and everyone attributes all of his success to Rocky training him, and he's like, I don't need Rocky. And he just starts, and then like everyone's like, you'll never be considered the true champ unless you beat Rocky. And Rocky's like retired. He doesn't fight anymore. He's like, I need to fight Rocky. He's like, well, no, I'm old now. I don't fight anymore. And then he just literally like goes into the bar that Rocky hangs out in and starts like picking fights with people and picks a fight with them. And they just have a street fight. That's the end of the movie. That's the big match at the end. Did you not know that?
No.
The match in the movie is a street fight?
No.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it's just a street fight. It's not even a boxing match.
All right, I'm going to watch it.
It's not good. So I will rewatch the series every few years.
Yeah.
Never rewatch
That's
Rocky
the one that
Five.
I keep skipping.
I always just skip that movie. Yeah. It's garbage.
I've seen the rest of them plenty of times.
Focuses too much on his little shithead son. Who is it? Just a total shithead in the movie?
In Rocky V?
Yeah. Mm. It's his real son, too.
Yeah.
So, of course, he can't act. And, yeah, it sucks. Anyway, Creed 2, though. Creed 2 is a movie that does not suck.
Yes, this is what, Rocky...
7?
8? No, it's...
8.
It's yeah, 8. It's 8. It's 8.
Rocky 8.
Yeah.
No one would have ever expected this coming. I remember back in the late 90s... people joking, what's Rocky gonna fight an alien next? And
other than five, they're fun movies. They're good. Yeah. I never have an issue with them.
I love the series. I love the series.
Yeah. So I had actually not I think I tried to watch Creed 1 by myself at one point and I just got bored and stopped watching. So you told me no, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So the night before we went to watch this movie, I went ahead and watched it in its entirety.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was good. I did enjoy it when I actually just gave it a chance. I just didn't give it a chance. But Rocky 8 Creed 2. What are your
Rocky
thoughts?
8 Creed 2 Rocky 4 2.
Yes. What are your thoughts on this movie?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. It was predictable.
Yeah, like most Rocky movies are.
Right. Yes, exactly. And it's weird that I saw that complaint a few times online where it's just like very predictable. It's like, it's fucking a Rocky
movie.
What
did you think? It's an underdog story.
Guess what? They're going to get in a fight and then he's going to win at the end.
He's going to win.
Or it's going to be a moral victory like the first one.
Yeah.
So the movie starts off, he wins the title because he didn't win it in the last movie. He wins the title easily. The movie focuses heavily on his relationship with his wife or his girlfriend.
Spoiler alert, by the way, guys.
They didn't say whether they got married or not.
He proposed.
He proposed, but then they like a year, 2 years, 2 years go by and
2 years go by, dude.
Yeah, because she's not pregnant and then she gets pregnant and then she has the kid and then the kid's like 1 year old. So 2 years goes by in that movie, and like they never really say whether they ever got married or not.
I guess I'm fuzzy on the details of the timeline of that movie.
Well, at one point she's not pregnant, and then at the next point they've got a 1 year old daughter.
Well, I thought she was like already pregnant when he proposed. That's what I thought.
I mean, no, I don't think so.
Okay, well,
regardless, it's a while. I mean, a good while goes by.
Yes.
Never mention whether they're married or not. Not really important, I guess, in the year 2018. Their family values aren't important nowadays.
Okay, let's stay with the movie here.
Oh, right. A movie. We're talking about Rocky 8.
Rocky 8. Creed 2, Rocky 4, 2.
So this was a sequel to Rocky 4.
Yes.
This is a sequel. Oh, Ivan Drago comes back, and he's got his son, Baby Drago, and he ain't no baby.
He's also Russian and very angry.
Right. He's like Ivan Drago in this movie speaks a lot more than he did before.
Yeah.
And now his son is the one who doesn't ever speak. And he kind of just looks grumpy all the time in a corner. You can never really tell whether he hates his dad or not. Because he just always looks angry to everybody. I thought that the relationship between Baby Creed and Rocky was good. I like what they did with it. There's only so much you can do, and they always have to find some way to insert some sort of drama into that relationship. And in the first one, it was that Rocky got cancer and he didn't want to fight it. And the one thing that I will say about these movies is that Adonis Creed, little Baby Creed, he's a shit. Like, he's kind of like a just either really stupid or what's weird is that he comes off as not really stupid, and they even his girlfriend even says that to him in the first movie, where she's like, normally guys who are boxers and stuff, like, they're like dumb and not well spoken, and they come from like the hood and stuff, and she's like, you're clearly really well spoken. But then he just acts like a moron all the time, like, especially with his relationship with Rocky, where every time things don't go perfectly in his way with Rocky, he's like, I thought you were my friend, but clearly you're just some guy who doesn't care about me. Like, every time Rocky's like, I don't really feel like doing that. It's like he just goes to the extreme. He's like, I don't like you anymore. And that happens in both movies. That's my main complaint, is that and you mentioned this too when you were talking about the first movie, was that Adonis Creed seems like a little bitch in the first movie.
He wasn't likable.
Yeah, he wasn't that likable. He was just kind of like, I get it. He felt like he had to live up to the name. I liked the first one, but especially there, like, I thought he was less likable, honestly, in this one.
Really?
Well, because for half of the movie, he's like a total scumbag to Rocky, because he's just like, as soon as Rocky's like, I don't think you should take this fight, and I don't want to be a part of it, he's just like, fuck you, you got my dad killed. And then he storms off, and then he goes to his girlfriend and is like, you won't believe this. It reminded me very much, I was getting flashbacks of a like specific banjo situation. And
well, even the girlfriend was reasonable and went, well, I mean,
and he still, but he didn't clue into that. No. He was just like, nah, he's a fuck. So I actually thought he was less likable in this movie, because for 2/3 of the movie, he was just like, fuck Rocky, he's a piece of shit, for very little reason, just because he didn't want to train him again. But aside from that, the montage was good. The fight, I felt like, was pretty forgettable. I feel like it was one of the worst Rocky fights, period, out of all 8 movies. I would rank it probably, the only one I felt like was worse is maybe Rocky V. Well, definitely Rocky V, and maybe Rocky Balboa.
I thought Rocky III was probably like one of the most forgettable fights.
This was on the level of Rocky III, where it was just like one-sided and short.
Yeah.
It was clear. This was really a remake. It's supposed to be, it's implied that, first of all, it's a second movie in the series, and then it's also like a direct sequel to Rocky IV. So you're thinking to yourself, well, it's going to be like Rocky II or Rocky IV. Really, this was a remake of Rocky III. The exact same beats and the same story, essentially. The fight was similar at the end. It was very quick. It was over quick, and it wasn't very eventful. So I felt like this was basically kind of like a soft remake of Rocky III, and you know, he gets discouraged and has to like re-find himself. He doesn't want to, he's basically not sure if he wants to keep fighting. That's Rocky III. So, I enjoyed it. I think that, someone asked me, does Rocky finally die? And I'm not going to give any spoilers away here, but my response was, Rocky never dies. Rocky will never die. And I think
it's a good response.
Yeah. So I don't know. Would you? I walked out liking it. You liked it more than the first movie. I didn't like it more than the first movie, but I still enjoyed it. I've rewatched the first movie two or three times since it came out. It's been out for like 3 years, so I've watched it once a year since it came out. I don't picture myself rewatching this one too many times.
Yeah. All right. Well, for me, like I said, like you said earlier, I didn't find Adonis Creed likable in the first movie at all. I thought he was just kind of some kind of punk whiny kid. I didn't understand. I don't know. I didn't feel a lot of motivation for him in the first movie. Like, why did he have to like do this?
Mm-hmm.
And he seems like he just did it because he had, like, it was, it, they really like outlined it well in the first movie. They're like, you know, like these people, they several times are like, these guys fight because they have to fight.
Yeah.
This is their life. And like, I ended up respecting the fighters around him more than him.
Right.
Because he was just some punk kid. Like driving, offering like, what was a Mercedes? Like
it was like a 68 Mustang.
Yeah. Like holding his keys up being like, yo, fight me because I'm good. Like, and
right.
Yeah. So, and at the end of the movie, they didn't really do a great job redeeming him. And this movie, I think you gotta like, I think like you said, I think you really, I didn't think about that. The Rocky III mirror there. I think that's really what they were going for. And whenever Rocky in the previous movies, what felt like he was being disrespected by people who he loved, he went off on similar tangents and stuff. I mean, it happened in Rocky I with him and Mickey. And
but they didn't like each other then.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was before they even trained together.
That's fair. But I think what they were trying to do is that, like, this is like a big deal. This is his dad. And I think he has like some, like, I don't think Adonis Creed even really knew. I think they try to like show that he didn't even really know how he felt about his dad. He didn't know where to place him in his life. It's not like he ever knew him.
Well, I don't remember if it was the first movie or the second movie, but there's a lot of times in these two movies where they kind of imply that he feels like he was abandoned by his dad or whatever, which is dumb, but they do say that. They imply it a few times where he's just like, he has resentment towards his dad because he wasn't around because he's fucking dead.
So I think that's who they were going for. Yeah, I thought he was being a little bitch to Rocky about the whole thing and not understanding, but I think they were just trying to show he had never really been challenged before. I mean, obviously the first movie, yes, he was challenged and blah, 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 but this movie was just more of like being challenged on like a professional level, like mm-hmm. being told you're the best, but then having it ripped away from you and being challenged. I think that was the whole thing. So I enjoyed him a lot more because he went through a lot more anguish. He got the shit kicked out of him. And that's what I want to see in a Rocky movie. I want to see like them at their like lowest point and they want to give up and then they go back and do it. Like,
right.
And I didn't really get that from the first movie. We get it in this one.
Yeah.
So that's why I enjoyed it a lot more. I mean, is it a great movie? Not really. It's fine.
Yeah.
Is it an enjoyable like sports movie? Yes. And is it a good Rocky movie? Yes. I think it's decent. I'm happy with it.
Yeah. I mean, I would rank it in the top four.
Yeah. I'd put it up there. I think they did a good job. You did talk about something that I thought was funny was that the girlfriend, like, highlights on her was a little odd at times.
Yeah, they focused a lot on her. On her, like, music career. The amount in the first movie that she was involved was fine. Like, she was more, they focused on her more in the second movie here than they focused on any other side character in the other six or seven movies. Like, she had a lot of screen time, and it wasn't just like, hey, I'm here for you or whatever. It was like talking about her music career and on something that really, it's funny because the last fight, the reason why I said that is the last fight opens and you're like, oh, you know, wonder what his musical number is going to be or whatever. And it comes out and she is performing live his musical number as he walks out.
It was odd.
And they've never done that before. It was really strange. And also, it's funny that happened because I remember thinking halfway through the movie when they have the baby, she's like, hey, can you watch the baby? I'm going to go to the studio. And I'm like, your fucking baby's like 3 weeks old, and you're like, hey, can you watch the kid while I go out for several hours without any kind of, she doesn't say when she's going to be back or anything. She's like, hey, watch the baby so I can go record music. And I'm just like, what? And it made sense after the whole movie, because it was just like, it felt like, I don't know if this is true or not, but it genuinely felt like this actress is trying to do a career in music, and like this was part of her contract. It was like, you have to spend this much, I have to be singing this much time on the movie.
The issue I have with it, just from a story's point of view, is that it made the Russian fight weird, because I like in Rocky IV, I kind of wanted it to mirror that, where not be the same thing, but in Rocky IV, when they're in Russia, it's like clear, you're in fucking our country, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is our shit. And like, I think it kind of ruined that.
There's a moment where they sing the Soviet Union national anthem and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's clear like, that no one's here for you, pal.
Right, exactly.
And I wanted that, and this one, he needed to have that, and I think that moment just kind of like killed it. I don't think that...
Yeah.
I don't think they would have... If this fight was real, they would even allow that.
Yeah.
Her number outshadowed the Russian guy's entrance, which yes. I don't see that realistically happening.
Yep. Yeah.
That was my issue.
Well, in Rocky IV... They're in the ring, and it just comes out of the ground. That's when Drago fights him. But that's a perfect example too, where he's in the ring, and the ring just comes out of the ground, and he's looking around, and he's just there, and he's just kind of confused. And then Apollo Creed comes out to living in America,
yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah, it's the same thing. It's like it's clear that you're not, we're not here for you,
yeah.
And instead. Someone had to be running those pyrotechnics and lights and stuff too, where it's just like when she does her number, it's just like, I don't know if they would go through all this trouble to make you look good.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was strange. I don't know. I get that she's a growing star. She was like in Thor Ragnarok or whatever. And so I don't know. It felt out of place. The entire movie, it felt out of place. At some point, because she's like going deaf in the movie or whatever, at some point they're gonna have to stop. And if these movies keep getting sequels, they're gonna have to stop talking about her music career. Or maybe she'll just be a completely deaf musician.
Next Beethoven.
Yeah. She is the next Beethoven.
So
but yeah, I give it a thumbs up. Definitely check it out if you're a fan of the series.
Check it out.
So all right, what else we got here? Okay, we got a ban on some Square Enix games, Bowman. Tell me about this.
Well, according to an article from TheGuardian.com, Square Enix has pulled 3 games from Belgium after the new European nation banned loot boxes because they are considered a form of gambling.
Right.
So the games included was Mobius Final Fantasy, Kingdom Hearts Union X, Dissidia, Final Fantasy Opera, Omnia? Yes. And so a lot of these games...
Hooked on Phonics, man. It'll help me. It'll help you.
Did I pronounce this correct?
I have no idea. You definitely look like you're having trouble over there.
No, because I'm conscious of it. Yes, these new laws are in place. Apparently, according to the Prime Minister, they see these loot boxes and digital rewards as a early form of gambling
the kids
can access.
It's not good.
So, it's not good. Do you think banning them is the solution?
Maybe. I mean, kids aren't allowed to go and play like a slot machine, and that's, you know, where do you draw the line, really? Because, okay, this is banned. But what about those like mystery boxes with the Funkos or whatever the little toys are that you buy and you don't know what toy you're going to get? That's basically loot box. Pokemon cards. You don't know what you're getting. So at what point, where do you draw the line there? The biggest problem is that this is digital, I think. That's the biggest concern, is that you hear these stories all the time of kids running up $2,000 on their parents' credit card because they don't understand money, and it's for whatever reason the parent tied the credit card to the account, and the kid was just like, yep, open it, and they just keep going, and then the parent gets a $2,000 bill or whatever. But aside from the digital aspect, where do you draw the line, really?
Well, I guess my issue is that what if adults just want to play these games?
Yeah.
And they're okay with it.
Yeah, but nobody likes this monetization, really. Nobody likes it. And is a selfish, and from a selfish point of view, I'm like, good, maybe they'll, you know, if they, since they made it illegal, they can't sell them in these places, maybe they'll stop making them. You know, because they're designed for one purpose, and it's to make the company more money. They're not doing it because people are like, man, I really wish I had a video game that I could just blow a bunch of money on for items and characters or whatever. It's just, it's not something I'm ever interested in. I don't even buy like DLC. So
yeah, I mean, I'm not interested in it. I guess I'm just afraid of like the line that
that's
drawn
Europe.
These things. Yeah,
I mean, that's Europe. That's how they are. And you know, it's sort of unrelated, but I just saw the other day that the UK banned milkshakes over a certain amount of calories. It was like 500 or 1,000 calories, and it was just like, first of all, that's all milkshakes. You're not gonna be able to get a milkshake for less than 500 calories unless it's in a shot glass. But second of all, it's just, you know, people need to be able to make their own decisions, and that's not what they do over in Europe. So, and that's how it's always been. And if anyone was going to ban these first, it's going to be them, probably. Them in Australia. I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they've already done that in Australia. I don't follow the Australian gaming news very closely. I just know that they ban a lot of mature games and prevent certain games from being sold or give them harsher ratings than we do. But yeah, I think it's a slippery slope. I think the bigger question is, what will these game companies do? What can they do to differentiate themselves from this and gambling? At what point does it become gambling, and what point is it? Because, like Overwatch, not too many people complain about the Overwatch.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
But they're, yeah, I guess. It seems like a much more acceptable version, though.
It's not
on the level of, I don't know, what's a game that uses a lot of loot boxes? What was the game that originally...
Battlefront.
Yeah.
Battlefront was a big one.
Yeah. So that was like a pay-to-win type thing.
Yeah.
Where you can pay to skip the half of the game or whatever.
I'm trying to think of other loot boxes. I avoid these like the plague. So
yeah, I mean, I just don't play these types of games.
I mean, I have a Persona on my phone, like the new Persona Mobile, and they constantly are offering me, oh, we got a deal on this pack of. Like,
I wasn't even aware there was a Persona phone game.
There is, yeah. I'm sorry, not Persona. Shin Megami Tensei.
God, idiot. Get your game straight.
My bad. So, yeah, I get tons of offers every day, and they're like, oh, today only,
So what do you think they should do then? Because you say you don't want them to go too far and decide what's okay and what's not, so what would your solution be? Because clearly, we can't let kids be, you know, buying this shit, and essentially, it is gambling. It really is.
Well, I mean, it's not a simple solution, but add more protections that... An age verification system.
Send in a copy of your photo ID or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a good idea too. I mean, yeah, you put up these walls and kids access this stuff because it's easy. Because like
right.
It's really what it is. I mean, parents just need to be more aware of this stuff. And I think it should be in the same level that if a kid gets access to it, it's like kid stole your mom's credit card.
And that's basically what it is. That's why I don't really have any sympathy for them, and I never pay too close attention to those stories I hear, because it's like, how do you not know that your kid rang up $2,000 worth of shit on your credit card? Like,
yeah.
How do you not, that's a problem in the household, really.
Mm-hmm.
I never stole money from my parents. I never, you know, it's like, if your kid steals your cigarettes or whatever, you don't like and start smoking them. You don't blame the kid. They shouldn't have been able to get a hold of your cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of how I view it. It's like you said, there is an aspect of, well, what if adults want to play it? The question is, do we regulate it the same way that you regulate online gambling?
Mm-hmm.
Is that acceptable? And at that point, I mean, I think that's ideal, because then that's best of both worlds, where it's like they can still make them if they really want to. But for my argument that I was making, they probably won't anymore because it's too much trouble.
Yeah, so I don't mind more walls going up. I just have an issue.
It's a thing of like creative freedom, where it's you can do it if you want. If this is really how you view the game and you can't picture it any other way, then you're welcome to do it. But if this is just some way for you to make some quick, easy cash, it's not going to work anymore. Like, you're not, this is not going to be an easy way for you to just get a bunch of money. You have to actually do all the work and really have a good product if you expect to make a decent amount of money off of this thing.
Yeah.
Which is good. So I think that'd be the best of both worlds, and it's probably something that they should look at. I know Hawaii was talking about banning them. So.
Yeah, I forgot what country. It might have been China, where you have to have Overwatch. They have to show what's inside the loot box, apparently, when you buy it.
That's weird.
But
kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I feel like this is going to really change within the next 5-10 years. We're going to see some significant changes.
Yeah, I think there will definitely be some sort of meaningful regulation on it. Here, anyway, it sounds like there already is over there.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, there's not too much more news here. Let's see. No. All right, so we had a... What's that noise? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did. What was that? Was that your phone?
It wasn't my phone. It's on silent. It was like some weird like techno shit.
Is this something like ESPN right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it might have been some sort of waves from my phone. Anyway.
Anyway.
Some data waves getting caught in the mic. Yeah, so it's Thanksgiving weekend. What'd you get for Black Friday?
Oh, boy. I got some good Black Friday deals. Not really. Well, not really as many as I would have hoped. But, no, I .
I was hoping to spend my entire life saving.
Yeah, no, when it comes to Black Friday, I, out of principle and out of not wanting to deal with it, I don't like shopping on Thanksgiving Day. I don't like that retail stores are open on Thanksgiving Day.
Uh-huh.
So I don't support it. But I will go online and buy stuff. So what I did end up doing was I bought L.A. Noire for Switch for $10, which is pretty much the highest I would pay for that game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to have that. I also got Inky in the Bendy Machine for Switch. It was on sale for $20. It's usually $20 for every system, but Switch, of course, has a Switch tax.
Right.
So it was $20. So I had a coupon and then got that for $15. What else did I get? I got there was a local game store, which I won't talk about. I got Diablo, and then I also got Diablo for Switch, and I got Monster Hunter used for free out of that deal for Switch. I think that's pretty much all I got. I mean, I went ahead and ordered Battle Chef Brigade on Limited Run, but that wasn't a Black Friday deal.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you get?
So I got Doom for the Nintendo Switch. I believe there was a price error and it rang up as $12 at Walmart.
God,
it's a $59.99 game.
That's awesome.
So me and my brother went straight from lunch on Thanksgiving and grabbed that up. It wasn't even the Black Friday hours yet. Because they didn't start till 6 p.m. We were there at like 2 and... Yeah, even the cashier was like, oh, I guess you guys got an early Black Friday deal. And I'm just thinking, no, you guys just done goofed. They did the same thing with Diablo.
Yeah.
Which I did not get. Let's see, what else did I got? Horizon Zero Dawn for PS4. I got it for 10 smackers at GameStop. And I had a $5 gift card, so I got it for $5. And I mentioned that last week, though. Because I had already ordered it.
You got God of War?
I got God of War, $17. That's a good one. It's like many people's game of the year this year. And I didn't want to spend more than $20 on it. So they had it for $17 at GameStop. I said, okay. And what else did I get? I got other things. I got Tempest 4000 for $9 on the PS4.
You got Wolfenstein 2?
Wolfenstein 2, $15. 15 smackers for that one. But the Tempest 4000, I don't know. Do you know about that game?
No.
It is a...
The remake?
A modern remake of Tempest 2000 for the Jaguar, which is considered to be one of the only good games on that system. So they did a modern remake of that game, and it's got, you know, all updated sound and graphics. It's really flashy. It's...
Oh, cool.
Yeah. A lot of neon colors.
How much was that?
$9.
Was that like a Black Friday deal? Or just
I have no idea. Yeah. It was just there, and I said, oh, okay. I'll pay less than $10 for this.
Sweet.
So, yep. And then, let's see. Oh, I got a new TV.
Did you?
Yeah.
you never mentioned that to me.
Got a 4K TV.
Oh, wow.
I mentioned it to you a while ago that I thought I was going to, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, it's going to be a business write-off.
Nice.
And, yeah, so. Got that, and then I sold my PS4 and stuff and got a PS4 Pro. So
didn't know you did that either.
Yeah. So between the I sold my PS4 for $200, and then the PS4 Pro came with a copy of Red Dead 2, so I sold that. Ended up upgrading the PS4 for $120.
How much was the... Was there a special price for the PS4 Pro?
No, I think it was just that it came with... It was the bundle. So it was still like $400.
Okay.
But sold my copy of Red Dead 2. This was what made the decision for me, because I saw it and I said, all right, well, it comes with like Red Dead 2, but I don't usually with those bundles nowadays, it just comes like installed on the system.
It was actually a physical
game.
Came
with a physical game. Oh, so wow. I messaged our friend Rich Mike, who made our wonderful outro and intro. And he had been interested in it, but was like, I'm going to wait, because he just bought his PS4. And he was interested in it and was like, I'm going to wait and get it later on when I'm done with the games that I have, because he bought like 4 games with his PS4. But he definitely wants it. And I was like, well, let me just... I was going to sell it on like OfferUp or whatever. So, well, let me just ask him if he wants it for, you know, like $45. Because you're not going to get it for cheaper than that in the coming year or two at least. So I sent the text. He said, yeah, I'll buy it. So
nice.
Worked out real good. And, yep. So I finally have upgraded to the old 4K. It's great for me because, as you know, I have that computer in my entertainment system. So, like, everything on the computer is 4K. So, I actually have stuff in 4K. Shut up!
Yeah, it's not picking up at least.
Yeah. Stupid Alexa over there. Oh, and then I got this wasn't really a Black Friday deal, but I got 3 of these Amazon Echo Dots for $1 a piece.
Nice, man.
Best, I don't know if you heard me earlier in the shower listening to the music in there. I've got one in the bathroom now. I got one in every room in the house now it's the cheapest intercom system you can get for a house. $1 a piece. Can't beat it. So that's nice. And then I can listen to music throughout the entire house now. And yeah. So overall, successful Black Friday. Been basically... I also... I don't know if I mentioned to you a while back, but I was pretty sure that my TV is like on its way out.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about that?
You did.
Yeah. Like when you turn it on, it like the power light flashes a bunch and... It takes a while to turn on, and that's usually an indicator that there's... Like, it's flashing to tell me that there's a problem.
Yeah.
So, for over a year now, I think since before last Black Friday, I was waiting on a deal that I liked, and finally I jumped on it. I had my Best Buy deal, where I don't have to pay for it for 2 years, so... yeah. So, overall, pretty busy. Oh, and then I bought... It's not a Black Friday deal, but I bought Hey You Pikachu. That was on the N64. Let's go...
Pokemon
Let's Go Pikachu. That's the one. I bought it for my wife.
Let's go to the polls.
Yep. So I bought that one for my wife, and uh, she She played it a little bit last night. Hasn't really. Only played it for an hour. Didn't give me a full review yet. So I'll report back. But so far, everything that everyone's saying is that it's watered down.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have a interesting topic for us. It's
I got a couple.
Okay. Let's hear them.
Well, I just want to talk about game store memories.
Okay.
So nowadays, when you want to go pick up a game, you'll either just shop online or you'll have to go to a game store. And what I typically do right now is that I just like look online and see if like my local GameStop has a game that I want in stock, mm-hmm. or I still have like the Best Buy discount, so I will go to a Best Buy and get a game that way. So what I want to talk about is that the experience that it is now is far different from what it was before.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some really fun game memories because there were so much more local game stores. And even corporate game stores were kind of fun to go into back then, too.
Right.
And for me, it was always about the relationship you have with the employees. Like, they were, like, yeah, there were a lot of douchebags back then, too. I'm not going to say that there weren't, but there were a couple game stores that we had really good relationships with, and we would just literally walk into their stores and just chat with those game store employees. And I feel like, I mean, I'm sure people out there, you know, have different, there's different employees everywhere, but it's so different now. It's so, first of all, there's less local game stores, at least in our area. We only have like a few.
It's all GameStop and then the one local game shop like that we dislike.
That we dislike. And
there's like a bunch of others, but
they're like,
they're such garbage.
Hilariously bad.
Yeah, they're such garbage that we don't even consider them.
No, they're just like a gimmick.
Something that I wonder how they stay open, and they usually don't stay open for long.
I don't understand. So that's what we're at right now. And so I don't want to necessarily just rant about bad game stores, but I want to talk about like what are some good game store memories you have. And for me, probably there was a couple stores that I really liked. And one was like a rental video store that was open. It was a franchise in Florida that closed down. It was bought out by Blockbuster at one point. It's called 16,000 Movies. And they were a cool joint because just for movies and video games, because the staff was really cool. They had Slurpee machines there. They had free popcorn that they would pop all day.
That's pretty cool.
And you could get as much as you want. It didn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you could literally walk around with a bag of popcorn and just look at video games and movies. And
American consumption at its finest.
It was great, man. And
all you can eat popcorn while you look around at movies.
Look around at movies. And anytime that video games were out for a period of time and they couldn't really rent them out anymore at this point, they would have like sales on them. You could also rent consoles there as well. It was a good time. Another place that I forgot what it was called. We just called it Frank's because I think that was the owner.
Okay.
And he was just a super chill guy. And you could literally pick up any game off the shelf. This was like a used retro store. And you could pick off any game off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And is everything okay?
Yeah.
And he would let you test it out and play it on like a big screen CRT TV. And he was like a super nice guy. And it was just, game stores were just really cool places to go into. Like I think that's just lost now. We don't have that anymore.
Well, because this is pre smartphones and really pre internet. So the types of people who A, ran a game store and B, worked at a game store had a real passion for it. You couldn't just stumble into this career.
Yeah.
You had to really know your stuff, really work to follow everything and even know what you're getting, know what you're going to order for the store.
Yeah.
So the kinds of people who ran a game shop back in the 90s really cared about this stuff. So, yeah, my fondest memory of a game shop is in the late 90s. I've talked about this before, specifically this mall. West Oaks Mall opened, and I would get my games before then. Mind you, because I've said before on here, I lived in the middle of fucking nowhere town called Ocoee, and just this little hick town that is on the outskirts of Orlando, not shit to do there. And when I got games, I got it from, like, Walmart. That's it. There was no game shop in town. It was just, you know, wherever, Walmart or, that was it, really, Walmart, Target.
Toys R Us?
Yeah, Toys R Us, but the nearest one didn't even open until that mall, I think. The mall, the one at West Oaks Mall was the nearest Toys R Us.
Hmm.
We had, yeah, anyway, so I think maybe there was like a KB Toys, but it was kind of far away. So my first real memory of a game store is walking into, in the mall, there was a place called Rhino Games. And I'm not sure if this was a chain or not. I think it might have been, but they were bought out by EB or GameStop. So I walk into the store. It's a game shop. I love games. And I walk in, and this is, and I didn't even know or understand what like a used game was. Never heard of a used game. I always just bought my games from Walmart or whatever. And I walk in and I see Resident Evil 2 for $7. And even as like a 10-year-old, I'm like, I can afford that. And I didn't even, my mind was blown because it was a relatively new game. I'm not even sure if Resident Evil 3 was out yet. So it was like pretty new. No older than a couple of years. It's current gen. And I'm like, fucks, a game for $7, I'm sold. And yeah, that was kind of the first experience I had with a game shop. Typical game store you would, you know, think of. You got the glass displays and all the games are in there and, you know, posters and shit up. But that was a cool store. And then I used to go and visit. I have family that lives in New York. It's where I'm originally from. And I used to go every summer and stay with my uncle who lived in Manhattan. And being New York City, they would have, it was pretty happening place. So they would have, you know, they would have like nerdy stores. And this was pre even 2000. So like, you know, it was different. Nerd culture was not prevalent and it was not cool. But New York City was always pretty good with it. So they had, and I always loved, that's the thing I always loved the most about going to visit was the fact that you could just find comic book shops and game stores and stuff. They didn't have that stuff down here. So I would always hit the comic shops whenever I went, and I would always hit this big game / comic book store over, I think it was near, in the vicinity of like Times Square. It was huge. And they had import games, which was just fucking crazy. And they would have like Dragon Ball Z games and stuff. So, me and my friend actually like got some money together, and at one point, and like, there was a game store that eventually opened up around where we lived later on, and had they weren't around for very long, but they'd actually had some like import stuff, and we got our money together and bought the like mod chip for the PS1.
Yeah.
The one that would plug into the slot in the back, and then it came with a little tiny spring that you would have to use,
yeah,
to switch the games out, because it would hold the button down.
It would make the PlayStation think that
the door never opened. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we actually bought that so we could play these imported Dragon Ball Z games. So yeah. And then, yeah, in my high school years, I was at the arcade. I was at the mall every single day because it was the only thing to do in my town. I was at the mall every single day, and I made friends with the guys in the arcade there. So, because I would play Initial D every day. And on top of that, you get bored in the arcade. You can't sit in there all day. So I made friends with like the guys that worked in the GameStop and stuff there. It might have been EB still back then, but
yeah.
Yeah, so good times all around. And yeah, then for a while, our friend Tom worked at the GameStop in that mall, so I would hang out in there. And yeah, it's fun stuff.
Yeah, it's just now when I walk into a store, it's just no one knows how to talk.
My problem with game shops nowadays is that you always feel like you have to be on guard because you always feel like you're getting ripped off.
Yeah.
You don't walk into a game shop nowadays and go, oh, wow, that's a really good deal. You walk in and, like, laugh at how overpriced and bad. I went in, let me give you an opposite experience to what I just explained of all my good memories of a game store. I went to one recently. I told you about this. I go with a bunch of stuff to trade in. They didn't want to take most of it because, whatever, it wasn't going to sell immediately. They were being really weird about it. He was like, you know, if this was Friday and, you know, then I could probably take it. But it's, you know, it's the middle of the week, Wednesday. I don't know how. And I'm like, what? You're not even. He's like, we haven't had many customers today, so there's not that much cash in the restaurant. I'm like, I want credit. And I'm like, he wasn't making any sense. He was just like, if it was Friday, I could probably take these from you. But since it's Wednesday, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take to sell these. I'm like, okay, just total nonsense. This is what I mean, where you got to be on guard, which is like they're always being shady about stuff. And I just, real quick, I just wanted to bring up, I look over in the glass case, and I pointed out, when we were bartering, I flat out pointed this out to him and was like, how can I expect you to give me a good deal when you have this? And it was a GameCube with a Game Boy player. So it was like a GameCube with a Game Boy player. It was like a black GameCube. It wasn't, you know, it was the typical GameCube with the Game Boy player for $160.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I'm just like, this is worth like $80, $90 tops. I'm like, you can understand my concern over what you're going to, especially if everything in your store is priced this way, how am I supposed to even buy anything with the credit that you're going to give me? That's what I was telling him. I'm like, I'm willing to trade this stuff in, but only if you give me enough credit compared to the rest of your store. Like, if this is a $20 game and then you give me $10 credit, that's great. But then if every $20 game in your store is $40, that $10 credit isn't worth anything to me.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I was getting across, and I was just like, I want to make sure you're going to give me a good deal. And then he just started talking in circles and making up that nonsense, and I'm just like, I can't even deal with this right now. And that's a lot of the times that's how it goes nowadays, where there's not, and that's, it's sad that like GameStop has become in our area more reliable than the local game shops, the mom and pop shops, because they have a very clear laid out policy. And these places just change their rules whenever they feel like it and whenever it's convenient for them.
Whatever employee you get too.
Yes.
Whatever the mood they're in.
Yep. So yeah, it's the game shop that we go to most that's not GameStop is always just changing their rules or whatever they feel like. And it's very frustrating. You never feel like they're on your side, that they're there to, you know, for the consumers. You never feel that way. So, plus they've got some notoriously bad employees and they won't get rid of them for years now. And you just look through their Google reviews and it's nonstop complaints about them and they don't care. They don't care. So, it's frustrating, but it is what it is. And in the end, when game stores die and the only way you can get them is online, and people whine and say, whatever happened to the good old days of the mom and pop shop? It's like, it's not going to surprise me. It's not going to surprise me at all. It wouldn't surprise me at all if these places around here went out of business and that all that's left is GameStop and online. It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest bit, and I wouldn't feel bad for them either because it's very rare. We watch like people on YouTube and stuff that go around to game shops, and it's like not even close to the experience that we get here. If there was stuff like that around here, it would be a different story.
Where were we? Where we met that nice game store owner? That, remember, you were like really impressed by this guy. It was like an older guy who owned a game store. Where was that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? I think he had a snatcher there under the glass. He was like some old guy.
Oh, yeah. You mean we went to a game store?
It was actually like decent.
Yeah, we went to a game store.
Where was that?
I still regret not grabbing that Mega Man 7 because it was a really good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was over in like Lakeland area. Yeah, that was over west of us. Like Lakeland, Auburndale kind of area. It was like almost to Tampa. It was like 30-45 minutes west of us. Yeah, that was great. And he had some like cool, like, rare stuff. He had that thing, that GameCube game I hadn't even seen before, the one that was, like, a combination of Wind Waker and Metroid Prime. You remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
And, yeah, he had good deals, and he was, he also didn't treat his customers like shit. Like, he had some, like, good games out on display, like, that you could pick up and hold. He didn't treat his customers like they were, you know, subhuman trash, like anything worth more than $5 is going to get stolen. That's another thing that is super common at game stores. I don't understand why they do that. It's because no other store on the planet does that. It's only game shops where anything that's worth more than like $10, they hide in a glass case. And it's just like, you can go to any other store in the world and all their merchandise isn't hiding behind a glass case. Like, it just says a lot on how you feel about your customers and yeah. stuff. And, yeah, so some places don't do that, and that's good. But overall, yeah, I'm not sure why it's like that either. I don't know if just the types of people who are attracted to video games are not the same types of people who understand good business. I don't know if it's just a clash. Like, I've always said that I've always said that most lawyers shouldn't open up their own law firm, because just because you're a lawyer doesn't mean you're a good businessman.
Right.
Just because you have a lot of video games to sell doesn't mean you should open up a store and sell them. And it seems like that seems to be the case around here, where it's just a bunch of, you know, for lack of a better term, shithead nerds who don't actually understand basic business principles. And they just were like, well, we should open up a game shop. It's hot right now. And that's kind of how I always feel. You know, we've talked about the major game store around here will have a game on display for like 3 years, and it's overpriced. And we'll try and cut a deal. And the guy, whether he's just being an idiot or a douche or what, is just, he says, I like it when they sit on the shelf for a long time. It's like, like, that doesn't make any sense. You fucking moron? Like, what? I don't like making money. So.
Well, that's pretty much it. I'm envious of other place, like, you know, like Seattle
and
like, that have like a lot of game stores. Because when I talk about a game store, I'm not asking to walk into a game store and just see like crazy good deals. That's right. Not what I'm asking for. All I'm asking for is just like a little bit of respect. That's all I'm asking for. Friendly conversation, nice people, deals are really clear, and everything's just consistent across the board. Like I know what I'm walking into. And when I look at a game, like if I see like a high priced game, I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, that's Snatcher. Of course it's expensive.
Right.
That's fine. It's just that when I see other like common games that are just overpriced on eBay, it's just like, why am I even here? Like,
but then you try and trade in the same game and they go, oh, well, that's a really common game. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's just consistency across the board is all I'm looking for, and just a little bit of respect. So, and I just, yeah, like it's like you said, there's just, I just think that the old man, the old guys and women who back then who own these game shops are gone, and this is what we're left with right now in a local level.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it doesn't help. We talked about this last week. The culture surrounding these hobbies are naturally really entitled to.
Yes.
So these are the types of people that are running these shops. And yeah, that's what you get. So, all right, got anything else for us?
What are we at time wise?
We're in an hour.
Do you want to go into the next one?
What do you got?
The video games and investment.
We'll save that one for next time.
I think we should save that.
Yeah. So, if you made it this far, thank you guys. We appreciate it. You can check us out on all the different podcast apps and websites. We have our own website where we have links to all those podcast websites, and you can just listen to the podcast in your browser. The website is www.analog-out.pinecast.co. You can catch all of our podcasts on there. There's a button for all the Spotify's and the Googles and the iTunes, and you can just click that and subscribe. You can follow me on Project Pat 88, Project with a K. And you can follow Bowman where?
Bowman Says.
At Bowman Says on Twitter. And on that note, we'll be seeing you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Logout.